Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I will offer an update on the case of Christopher Schultes. First I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Christopher Ryan Schultes was born in May 1987 and lived in Marana, Arizona. This is about 21 miles northwest of Tucson. He was charged with driving under the influence sometime around 2009, but had no other criminal history. In October 2012, Christopher started dating a physician named Erica. The couple married and in 2019 moved into a 2,300 square foot house at 5160 West Peyton's Court. Christopher and Erica had three daughters. The youngest daughter, Parker, was born in October 2021. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On July 9, 2024, at 4:16 p.m., 37-year-old Christopher Schultes called 911 and said that his two-year-old daughter, Parker, was unresponsive. He had left Parker in his blue 2023 Acura MDX SUV, which was parked in his driveway. The temperature outside was 109 degrees Fahrenheit. First responders arrived and transported Parker to a hospital, where she was pronounced dead at 4:58 p.m. The cause of death was environmental heat exposure. The SUV had been parked in direct sunlight. Parker's car seat was on the driver's side, which was facing west. Her body temperature had reached 108.9 degrees Fahrenheit. The police spoke to Christopher in his house. Here's what he told them. He and his daughter Parker had been driving around. Christopher claimed that they arrived home and parked in the driveway at 2:30 p.m. Parker was asleep in her car seat, on the back seat, on the driver's side. Christopher did not want to wake Parker up, so he left her in the SUV and went inside the house, which was occupied by his other two daughters, ages 9 and 5. He wasn't too worried about Parker because the vehicle was running and the air conditioning was on. The vehicle had an automatic shutoff feature, which Christopher knew about. It had triggered before when he was waiting to pick up his children from school. The police later tested the shutoff feature. The Acura deactivated after 20 minutes. At about 4 p.m., Christopher's wife Erica arrived at the house. She asked him where Parker was, which prompted Christopher to search the rooms in the house. At this point, he remembered that Parker was in the Acura. Christopher approached his vehicle and found his daughter unresponsive in the car seat. The SUV was not running at this time. This is when he called 911. His wife Erica performed CPR until first responders arrived. The police were able to construct a timeline of the events leading up to the tragedy. On that day, Christopher visited a local grocery store. He entered the store alone. Apparently, he left Parker in the Acura SUV. Christopher selected three cans of beer from the beer cooler and walked into the restroom. When he exited the restroom, he had fewer cans of beer in his hand. He made no attempt to pay for the beer, walked out of the store, and drove away at 12:10 p.m. Surveillance video from Christopher's neighborhood showed that his 9-year-old daughter and his 5-year-old daughter arrived at the family house at 12:52 p.m. They had been at a trampoline park. Just 1 minute later, at 12:53 p.m., Christopher's Acura SUV pulled into the driveway. He walked alone from his vehicle to the front door of his house. Based on the video surveillance, it was clear that Christopher had lied about his arrival time. Again, he told the police he arrived at 2:30 p.m. He had been at his house 1 hour and 37 minutes longer than he stated. At 4:08 p.m., Erica arrived home. As I mentioned, at 4:16 p.m., the 911 call was placed. Parker had been left in the SUV for over 3 hours. During that time, Christopher was in his house playing video games and watching videos featuring clothing-challenged performers. On July 12, 2024, 3 days after Parker's death, Christopher Schultes was arrested and charged with second-degree murder and child abuse. The judge determined that Christopher was not a danger to the community and released him. On August 1, 2024, Christopher received an appropriate upgrade from second-degree murder to first-degree murder. Technically, he could have faced the death penalty, but prosecutors decided to pursue life in prison instead. In March 2025, Christopher was offered a plea bargain for second-degree murder, which would have resulted in a sentence ranging from 10 to 25 years. Considering the egregious nature of his behavior, this was an incredible deal. Yet, Christopher rejected the offer. Instead, he opted to take his chances at trial. There was no interest in any type of deal. One thing was for certain, Christopher would never accept a plea bargain. On October 22, 2025, Christopher accepted a plea bargain. He pleaded guilty to second-degree murder and intentional, knowing child abuse under circumstances likely to cause death or serious physical injury. He is scheduled to be sentenced on November 21, 2025, when he will face a minimum of 20 years in prison and a maximum of 30 years. Under this arrangement, there will be no eligibility for early release due to good behavior or other programs. In the state of Arizona, this is referred to as flat time. Christopher will serve the full sentence day for day. Based on the sentence range, he will be released sometime between 58 and 68 years old.
Dein altes Sofa zerfällt langsam und die Black Friday-Angebote sind wirklich unschlagbar. Aber dein Gehalt kommt erst Anfang des Monats. Kein Problem, mit der PayPal-Bezahlung nach 30 Tagen. So hast du jetzt mehr Spielraum beim Bezahlen und der Betrag wird nach 30 Tagen automatisch und kostenlos von deinem Konto oder deiner Karte abgebucht. Alle Infos auf paypal.de/30 Tage. PayPal es. Vorbehaltlich Kreditwürdigkeitsprüfung verfügbar mit deutschem PayPal-Konto für Einkäufe zwischen 1 und 2.000 Euro.
Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
Jeder meckert über den ÖPNV. Aber was steckt wirklich dahinter? Mit dem Podcast Ticket to Anywhere blickst du hinter die Kulissen des Nahverkehrs. Schauspieler Maximilian Mund reist zu seiner Oma, trifft spannende Menschen wie Malte Zierden oder Linda Zervakis und erklärt alles zu Bus und Bahn. Und wie sie besser werden können. Erlebe ein außergewöhnliches Audioerlebnis rund um unsere alltägliche Mobilität. Jetzt reinhören auf Spotify oder unter zukunftnahverkehr.de/podcast.
Now moving to my analysis. Here are my thoughts on a few areas that stood out to me in this case. Item number one. Christopher had a 16-year-old daughter from a previous relationship. She had lived with him and Erica for about 4 years. This daughter accused Christopher of leaving her in vehicles. Fortunately, she knew how to restart the vehicle. From June 2014 to December 2020, the Department of Child Safety received 9 reports alleging physical mistreatment by Christopher against this daughter. He had allegedly slapped her, thrown her, pulled her hair, pushed her head into walls, and picked her up by her arm or shirt. In every case, the department found the allegations to be unsubstantiated. Christopher lost custody of his daughter, and after her mother died, she was placed in the custody of another guardian. The accusation by this daughter about being left in a vehicle was echoed by one of the daughters who lived with Christopher. She told the police that Christopher had left her and her siblings in a vehicle alone 59 times. Item number two, Erica sent Christopher a text message on March 11, 2024, 3 months before the tragedy, expressing concern about how he was treating his daughters. She wrote, quote, "You haven't shown you can stop putting the girls in danger or treating me badly. Even yesterday, you drove home drunk with 2 minors. You drink to excess every time. I have been asking for 3 years for you to cut back, but it's actually gotten worse." Unquote. Christopher promised to find relief and happiness elsewhere, but Erica did not seem convinced by his promise, saying that the last time he did that, he merely replaced booze with cocaine. Christopher responded, quote, "At least this one is legal, right? I'm a piece of blank addict, and I need to get addicted to healthy things like running again." Unquote. Just 10 days later, Erica wrote, "Why were you going 138 with our baby in the car with alcohol in your system?" Christopher responded to this message by writing, "You hate me. She was sleeping. It's fine." Item number three. Right after Parker died, the police found a text message exchange between Christopher and Erica, which did not look too good for Christopher. Erica texted, "I told you to stop leaving them in the car. How many times have I told you?" Christopher responded, "Babe, I'm sorry." Erica wrote, "We've lost her. She was perfect." Christopher replied, "Babe, our family. How could I do this? I killed our baby. This can't be real." I find it curious that Christopher was surprised by this outcome when he had been warned numerous times to discontinue his dangerous behavior. Item number four, Christopher was charged with second-degree murder before getting an upgrade to first-degree murder a few weeks later. Even though he was facing life in prison, he thought it would be a good idea to take a vacation. He managed to secure permission from the court to take a trip to Maui, Hawaii. Christopher and his wife spent a week there in May 2025. I find it curious that this was a priority and that he would have even been interested in a vacation. Most people would find it pretty difficult to have fun on a vacation when facing life in prison. Furthermore, Christopher had the knowledge that he killed his daughter. How was he able to enjoy himself under those circumstances? It was like the weight of his actions had somehow been lifted off him, or was never on him in the first place. Maybe Christopher thought he deserved a vacation after all the stress he had been through, or, more accurately, the stress he caused. One theme of this case is how Christopher may have been in denial about his substance use, despite his acknowledgement that he was addicted. This ability to enter a state of denial is profound and affects many areas of one's life. It's not just related to substance use. With this vacation, for instance, Christopher was able to shut out all the consequences of his criminal behavior and focus on having fun in Hawaii. The ability to do that may seem like an incredible gift, but it's actually a horrible curse. Item number 5, what do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Christopher was self-centered, impulsive, irresponsible, reckless, hedonistic, excitement-seeking, addicted to substances, had a sense of entitlement, and was exceedingly creepy. He had a history of excessive substance use, leaving his daughters unattended in vehicles, and other irresponsible behavior. Despite repeated warnings about how his behavior was hazardous, he continued to do whatever he felt like doing. On the day of the tragedy, Christopher was completely focused on finding pleasure for himself. This included allegedly stealing beer, playing video games, and watching adults-only videos. When he left Parker in his Acura, he knew that she was there. It wasn't like he forgot about her. He also knew that the vehicle would shut off after a few minutes. Christopher didn't care about his daughter's safety. Again, he was completely focused on himself. Parker died as a result of Christopher's behavior. When he was questioned by the police, the first thing Christopher thought about was himself. He lied about how long he had been at home, claiming that he arrived an hour and 37 minutes after he actually arrived. He wanted to escape responsibility for his homicidal action. In the investigation that followed the murder, it was clear that everyone around Christopher knew he was dangerous. One of his daughters said, quote, "He still drinks too much beer, and he keeps leaving us in the car when my mom told him to stop doing this. That's how he made my baby sister die," unquote. As Christopher started his journey through the criminal justice system, he was in denial about going to prison. He insisted that he was going to take his case to trial. A trial would have ended very badly for him. Denial is a profound mechanism. It allowed him to ignore both his substance use problem and his legal problem. In all likelihood, Christopher was repeatedly advised that going to trial would be very unwise. Eventually, he accepted reality and decided to plead guilty. If he had only overcome his denial related to substances, he could have avoided this tragedy altogether. He would not have to go to prison. Ironically, the time Christopher spends in prison will be characterized by extreme discomfort in the heat. The prisons in Arizona are notoriously under-air-conditioned. Several heat-related deaths and illnesses have been documented over the years. The flat time he is required to serve will feel more like hot time. Inmates in Arizona might refer to it as slow roasting. Christopher once arrogantly ignored the heat. Now, it will be his constant companion. Now moving to my final thoughts. When people look at Christopher's history of irresponsible behavior, they are not necessarily surprised he became a killer. What is confusing to people is why his wife Erica has stood by him so firmly. Erica seems like an upstanding citizen. For instance, she is a physician. What was she doing with somebody like Christopher, and why did she support him after the tragedy? There is no way to know what she was thinking, but there are a few possibilities. For example, Christopher was very manipulative. He was effective at crafting excuses for his bad behavior and convincing when he promised to change. His denial had a way of spreading like a toxin, affecting people around him. This happens from time to time with substance users. The denial is almost contagious. The offender invites other people to join in his fantasy. Or maybe, as the saying goes, the heart wants what it wants, even when the object of its desire is a walking red flag with a hangover. Despite being undesirable in every imaginable way, and repeatedly placing his children in danger, Christopher was able to retain the loyalty of a woman who had many other, better options. Christopher failed at nearly everything in life, yet he still managed to succeed at manipulation. Those are my thoughts on the case of Christopher Schultes. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon. Just a reminder that I have over 300 pre-release videos on my Patreon account. These videos are of the same quality as the videos I release to the public. When I put a video in pre-release status, it usually stays that way for several months, if not a year. I will put the link to Patreon in the description for this video.